Hi, I'm Luke Casterly and welcome to It All Works Out, a podcast series from A Lust for Life, where the leavings are classed with COVID-19 to talk about the emotional fallout from what's been a crazy year and the uncertainty of what's to come. Now that the leaving cert results are out, it's time for us to start thinking about college. Not like we haven't been thinking about that for years, to be honest. College for me has always been the dream. For others, it's an apprenticeship. For others, it might be taking a year out to travel or to work. But not one person I know is getting to carve out that new life for themselves in this new world. And that's been hard. It's kind of hard not to wallow in the disappointment of it all. So to help us, in this episode, we talk about how we're managing the transition into university and focusing on the bigger picture. And I talked to guidance counsellor Breed Hannon from Trinity College about what kind of things we can do to help us in these crazy days.
Oh, I'm going to totally jinx myself here now. I've applied to UCC and I've applied to, well, like in my CEO, like I have UCC law down, and I applied for Galway for law, economics and politics, I think it is. And then I applied to go abroad as well to the Netherlands, to Amsterdam. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what will happen. I'll be listening just back now and saying, God damn it for you. At the end of the day, I've always had the attitude that if you really want to study something, why go for the second choice, like something that you're only half interested in. Like if you want to do law, like there's loads of ways into it. If you want to do like, you know, medicine, there's other ways into it, and all of these things are important, and there's no point spending 3 years of your life and setting yourself up to go into something that you're not really interested in, and it's a waste of time because you probably won't end up doing it anyway. So you know, it's just about like not seeing it as I suppose points related, and more like what do you want to study, and then working a plan that will enable you to do that whether you get the points or not. I'm not looking forward to having to do my own washing, because I'm so like incapable of using a washing machine or filling a dishwasher or making my own bed, to be quite frank. But I'm definitely most looking forward to like kind of the independence, like, which is kind of ironic what I've just said, but the, you know, just having my own space really. And I suppose like considering wherever I'd be moving to, whether it's Cork or Galway or the Netherlands, it's all quite still far away from West Cork, from where I'm from. So, you know, it does mean being like an hour and a half or a couple hours away from my home. So, you know, I know a lot of people, like if they live in the cities, they'd stay with their parents or whatever. So it's a big change for someone who lives very rurally. And yeah, I am looking forward to that. Obviously, I'll miss my family as well, because, you know, this COVID thing, I think, has brought everyone closer together. I definitely will miss them, but I suppose the sense of moving on and time to, I suppose, create your own life outside of your kind of secondary school home. I know that colleges would be much more ahead of blended learning than, you know, in terms of setup and facility and resources than, you know, secondary schools, which I think a lot of young people had bad experience. I was particularly lucky at my school. You know, we have a new school, so we had really good like a setup for online schooling. But yeah, there is concern. I mean, look, it's a brand new leaf for all of us, including yourself, Luke, and I think we're all a bit uncertain about even how it would play out normally, without even thinking about during COVID-19. So it'll be interesting. I mean, look, the times are very different and unprecedented, and I think if we can get into college and be getting classes, and at least we're in there and we're doing something, you know, that would be huge, I think, at this point. It's obviously disappointing to not have, like, you know, the freshers weeks and, like, you know, where you get to meet all the society groups and all the clubs and things like that. And it is disappointing. It's like, you know, similar to the graduation that we would have had and the grads and everything. It's just, it is disappointing. But again, like, you know, you have to see the bigger picture, I suppose, like in all sense of things. And look, my mom said to me, I was saying to her the other day, I was like, we won't have freshers. She was like, you can have freshers when you're in second year. And I was like, it'll still be there. You just won't be the first year. I suppose. So yeah, these things aren't going to disappear, and there's room for us to always do them again, which is the most important thing. It's a bit complicated for me as well, a bit more so because of applying to go abroad. And I think my results have to be in by the 31st of August if I decide to go. So like that's you know, like say for instance, send them in by 31st of August, and then say you have your accommodation, like you're essentially moving straight over to the Netherlands, which is kind of a scary thought, because I suppose in normal times my parents would probably come with me, and you know, it would be kind of a fun thing, but it'll probably be a very, very like strict, like carefully planned trip over if that's what happens. So there's a lot of caution with it, and even moving to Cork City is more difficult as well, in the sense, you know, moving anywhere at this time. Overall, like even though there's an awful lot of like add-on issues this year, I think I am looking forward to it. Like even though, you know, there'll be cautions and it will be a little bit different probably for the first half of the year, if not the entire year, you know, I think the sense of still moving on is there, and the sense of having kind of a newer version of your life is there, with like kind of more independent aspects, and I think that's really important, and I don't think that's been lost for me anyway, and I hope it hasn't been lost for too many students who are in Leaving Cert at the moment.
This is Connor.
For the next academic year, my plan is to go and do a level 5 in Dunleary Institute of Further Education, as opposed to going on with my original plan, which was to pursue a level 8 in DCU, doing multimedia, because media is my whole thing. Like, you know, like you look at a lot of colleges and they're online learning till Christmas maybe, and then it's a hybrid maybe, where some people are back this day a week and that day a week, and it's just a real chaotic time in order to get the most out of the college experience, and really get the full weight and the full learning experience of college. I said, listen, my original plan was to go on and do like just the level 8 straight off the bat in multimedia technology. So I said, no, I'm going to wait till everything settles down, till some sort of normality comes back again, and where when we're in a position to go in the traditional sense to college, I'm gonna go then and just go and have a year of learning in Dunleary. It's actually back physically in September, October, so it's a small enough college so it can accommodate that. So I'm really looking forward to that, and in transitioning then, you know, like I could look at it two frames of mind that I could look at it at. I've a former and a latter here, and I would tend to view it with the latter. Firstly, I could look at it as circumstances have caused my whole journey to be put off, and as a result of this, I've had to, you know, take an extra year of my life and go do a feckin' level 5s I never wanted to do, and blah blah blah, all that sort of shit. You know, I could look at it at a very negative light. The latter that I'm talking about here, and how I would tend to view it as, this is a great learning experience. It's about, you know, taking the punches, rolling with them, and adapting to the situation. It's a fantastic college. It's a fantastic course. It's a very busy year in doing what I love. It's media. There's work experience. There's a whole lot of bunch of stuff that I'm really interested in. And I'm super excited to go out there, meet new people, broaden my horizons tenfold, and see what it has to offer. So it's not nothing ventured, nothing gained, you know. Like, it's another adventure that I'm really excited about. And when I see, like, I'm sure there probably are people out there that'll be like, for fuck's sake, you know, like, I can't go and pursue what it is I want to pursue straight off the bat, so I have to go here because of circumstances, global pandemics, all that jazz. So if there is anyone out there feeling like that, I would say, like, you know, look at what's before you, you know, before you cast that judgment on what's happening, you know. Circumstances change, and you learn this in life. It's a life learning lesson. We've learned it with the Leaving Cert. Circumstances change. You have to adapt and make the most out of what it is. You know, this wallowing around and saying, well, fuck this, you know, like, that's just not going to cut it, because newsflash, nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit, man. You can give out, you can crib and complain, and you can go through these experiences and not get the most out of it, as a result of your mind frame, you know. So and nobody will care. You'll just be left with your own misery. So it's a very black and white, blunt way of putting it. But I think you just got to approach these decisions with that optimism. And it's very hard, you know. It's ingrained in me because I'm just an optimistic person in general. I mean, I'd be like that if, you know, they were fucking out of ice cream at the restaurant. I'd be like, that's grand. Give me a chocolate fudge cake. But it's just that's a very abstract example, but that's kind of my personality. But for people that have maybe you're high in like neuroticism and that sort of thing, that wouldn't have that sort of authentic optimism, you know, maybe this could be a challenge. You know, take this as a situation to adapt to and try and adapt your mindset to one of positivity and optimism regarding the decisions as to your career prospects and life goals and education goals. I am really, really, really looking forward to this next step. And I think I mentioned it in the last podcast. I think I was like that in national school. Like, I was just so looking forward to getting out. And I think that's just me as a person. I'm really, really looking forward to getting out there into the world. Not wishing away my present, because, you know, the future is great, but you got to appreciate what you have right now. But at the same time, I'm like, there are so many wonderful people out there. That's why when people say to me, right, okay, if you don't get your results, are you going to sit the Leaving Cert again? Fuck no. Jesus, that would be my worst nightmare. Because when you consider the sheer outlandish level of opportunity and people and my skill set, my attributes and my ability to do what I do and make it in the world, well, there's so much possibility that sitting and studying and being chained to a desk for another year to do the arbitrariness of memorizing a few Shanuckle and learning a feckin' Ash, like those two, just the former far outweighs the latter, and I can't see it. So I'm just the sheer breadth of opportunity is what excites me, and people. And there are so many magical things that can happen once you put yourself out there in spaces. There are so many things that can happen outside of your circumstances that can happen in the background that can just manifest themselves in being in the right position at the right time to do something epic. And that's what I'm going off. And I'm like everybody else, I have to make do with the situation and readjust my plans in a sense. But I am so excited in getting out there. Is there anything I'm not looking forward to? There are going to be good days, and there are definitely going to be bad days. You know, it's not as perfect as I let on there. You know, like it's really exciting and a really exciting time. And along with meeting incredibly amazing people comes the malevolence that you encounter in the world in general. There's going to be negative people, and you're going to learn, you're going to make friends with people that might not necessarily want the best for you. You're going to make friends with people that might betray you and might sell you out, and you're going to encounter negative professors and lecturers. There's so many things that are out there that are just bad that are going to come with it. So I'm not looking forward to them, but in a sense, I am looking forward to them, because they are the things that are like the stuff that makes you grow as a person. So like, encountering the good is great, but encountering the bad, encountering the chaos that is out there, the evil, that's the malevolence that just builds personality and character on another level, you know. Finding a dragon and conquering it builds the hero, you know. It's the hero story, the hero's story arc, you know. The call to adventure comes, hero takes it, goes to fight the dragon, has some really bad days, falls down into the depths of despair, rises back up then, and the cycle continues, conquers the dragon, and then on and on. And that's the story arc that builds character. So I see myself abetting the call to adventure and going, and there's going to be a few dragons and monsters to slay on the way. So the way I look at it is every cycle and every time that story arc resets, a better version of me is built. I've been listening to a lot of Jordan Peterson. I'm reading his books and listening to his lectures and interviews and stuff, and he's just a legend. Whatever you might think about his politics or his controversies, you know, his stuff about self-help and motivation, like that shit is just so powerful. And even from my own circumstances, just learning, I've been having conversations with my mom where just learning from our life experience and our story, there's overcoming the things that we've had to overcome as a family, I've just picked up these things and these little intonations of what Bill's character and how that has served me in the long run and how that has developed my character. Mm. So, of course, this COVID-19 is going to affect the learning framework of people in terms of learning, in terms of work, in terms of what we perceive as normal. It's like I said, when we talked about normality, I'm going to wait for learning to go back to normality or as close to normal as possible, because we're not going to get that, unfortunately, with COVID-19. It is really, you know, you hear an iRadio, if you listen to it often, I'm Fionnuala Corbett, COVID-19 has changed our lives and we're doing our bit to fight the pandemic. It really has changed our lives, and people be living through this shit just like not looking at the news, but it is a really historic time. And so the way I look at that actually is Pat Kenny said to me best, he said, never waste a crisis or never let a crisis go to waste. And I don't know who said it originally, it might have been Thomas Jefferson or some of them. Necessity breeds innovation. So because we need to now reappraise our learning and how learning is conducted in the classroom with all the caveats of social distancing and COVID-19 in place, there's going to be innovation that is going to arise from this to get over the challenges that this faces. You know, now we have in what I see is a shift towards continuous assessment with the Leaving Cert. We're going to have a shift to homeworking in the workspace. There's so umpteen examples I could give you, but I just can't think of right now. Necessity breeds innovation. And in terms of the quality, which gets back to your original question, in terms of the quality of education that is going to be delivered, sure, it mightn't be the bog standard traditional way, but maybe in the coming years, it's not just going to happen right now. We're probably going to get the short end of the stick when it comes to this. But in the years to come, the developments in ICT, in software, in everything, classroom, digital learning, that sort of crack, that's going to explode because it's an industry now. Because a challenge has arisen where new inventions need to be created to accommodate the restrictions that are in place now. So that's going to be a fucking industry. Businesses are going to be jumping at the chance to see if we can solve the classroom learning problem, and that breeds the next Facebook or Twitter or TNC that is taking over the digital learning front, the e-learning front. So we're probably getting the short end of the stick, yes, but in years to come, I think it's just going to explode. It's absolutely going to explode, and the learning might even be higher quality. It might be in a different form, but it could be even further be enhanced by ICT developments. No such thing as going out to the pubs. Nights out probably aren't going to be the same. You know, like, we know the ramifications here of COVID-19. You know, I used to be a feckin' DJ, so I was fueled by the gig economy and a night out in a pub. My whole livelihood has gone down the toilet for as far as foreseeable, until some restrictions change. We're going to be missing out. But then I look at that and then I see, like, you know, we've always been Snapchatting, we've always been Facebooking, we've always been Twittering, we've always been doing these digital waves of communication. Now it's TikTok, you know, and that's just going to continue to evolve. And like we said, necessity breeds innovation, you know. So I'd say socializing is just going to be radically different. But we've already been doing that, so it's not as revolutionary. But at the same time, it's obviously not the same thing as seeing a person face to face. But when I look at it, you know, restrictions are easing. People are seeing more people. It's not going to be the same, but like, it's not going to be fucking impossible at the same time. I'm being level-headed about it. When, you know, we're not going to be starved of socialization. Like, I think this, it's going to be different, and it's precisely the reason why I took the time out that I did this year, and it is certainly going to be reshaped. But there's goods and bads with every situation. We're probably getting the short end of the shtick, I agree, but there's, like that with the e-learning, there's probably so many innovations that have probably come out of this, so many ways of overcoming that. Even, like, I'm not talking in the digital space, there's probably going to be like some form of club or some venue, sort of. It could be a new type of venue that we don't even know of. Like, you know, we have bars and pubs, we have this new thing that is where it's socially distancing is possible, and like, we go into these little cubicles with windows and we can talk to each other through them, and next thing you know, it's some sort of hub that we all go to, and that's an innovation in itself. And it's, are you going to the pub? No, I'm going to the hub. It totally has thrown a spanner in the works. When I look at it, DJing, like, that was my whole livelihood. Like, I worked in a hotel for a year and a half and said, fuck this, I'm going to make money doing what I love at DJing. I was very lucky to have that experience of DJing with my local Farroiga on my church's PA equipment with an iPhone with Spotify on it. Then to saying, okay, I've done this once or twice, getting involved with my school talent show and doing that for them and being like, oh, I can kind of do this, and then buying my own equipment, forming a customer client base, putting myself out there in the public space with business cards, Facebook pages, and building up a customer base to get to a sustainable amount of revenue. Like that whole thing, even just the journey that was, like, that's been taken away this summer. I don't get a chance to expand that and work on that. And look at, like, it's the opportunity cost that comes with this whole COVID-19, and a lot of students are going to just completely get shafted because that's the way the economy is going, and God knows we've no idea what's going to happen in terms of the finances, getting everything together. Like, it's going to be a struggle, but where there's a will, there's a way, and I'm not going to be completely screwed. Like, I'll find a way to make money. I think that I'm not going to sell myself now, but like, I'll find a way to get a job. Or this is a funny one. This is really cracking me up, this podcast. But I'll definitely find something. And then, oh my God, why do we keep coming back to this? Necessity breeds innovation. So look at that. Maybe I'll start my own hub. Every cycle that I talked about, like, a new me is created, and I just can't wait to be the best me possible. Just all the shit, like, I'm ready. There's going to be so much positive to hit my life and hit our all of our lives collectively in the next wee while with college, because that's what college is. It's a really positive experience for the if you're meant for it. Like, I'm just really excited to develop as a person and just keep the cycle going. And I'm afraid of the malevolence that I will encounter. Like, there's no doubt there's going to be dicks out there, and it's going to be scary, but like, look, it just got to take it all in your stride and, you know that it makes you a better person. So look, there's good in exponential good. And matter of fact, and we talked about that, I said it very black and whitely about like the uncertainty and how like the effort of the reward didn't outweigh the effort or input that was required in terms of our leaving cert. So that caused a lot of uncertainty, but certainly for college, like, the reward and the amount of good and opportunity and friendships that can be formed during that time period, it far outweighs the malevolence and the evil there. So you just got to focus on that and take it as it comes. And that's what I'm really, really looking forward to.
Over to Ellen.
I'm hoping to study philosophy, politics, economics and sociology in Trinity College in Dublin. Politics and society was introduced as a subject in my school when I started fifth year, and I just absolutely loved it, because especially the society aspect of it, like picking apart different aspects of society, especially stuff to do with the media and how it's presented and how that influences the way we think. So I think I definitely want to go on to study it more in depth at college, so I can sort of almost pick apart society and sort of, like, I think someone once phrased as like solving the puzzle of society. I'm going to be so pretentious. It's difficult to know now how my grades will turn out because of calculated grades. There's no exam, but I am hoping that the last 2 years I put enough work in to get the points I wanted. Well, I think in general, what it means to transition to university has become so murky, because a month ago, I assumed I would be starting college without ever setting foot on campus. But now this month, as we're sort of accelerating the lifting of restrictions, it seems like we could have a more normal academic year. I think the things I'm most looking forward to is more independent learning and focusing on what I'm genuinely interested in, not just stuff like maths and science, it's more stuff like sociology, politics. And I'm also looking forward to joining the various societies in college, even though, again, that's a point of contention, because there's a lot of uncertainty whether they'll be able to meet up and actually have it because of social distancing. And actually, I think in terms of things I'm a bit apprehensive about would be the more self-directed learning, especially because of the coronavirus, because we're always told anyway that when we go to college, there's a lot more self-reliance and you have to motivate yourself because the lecturers aren't going to chase you around looking for work. You have to do it yourself. And I think people already struggle with that in a normal academic year. So if we have to cope with online lectures and forcing ourselves to go on a computer every day, it could be a lot more difficult to transition. Yeah, I suppose my main concern about blended learning is that on a student-to-student basis, like, some will struggle with it more than others, because the people already find it difficult transitioning to college and motivating themselves to do work and go to the lecturers, with lecturers not chasing them around looking for work to do. It's all, they have to hold themselves accountable, and I think that's already difficult in a normal academic year, so I can imagine it'll be even more harder to adapt to that if we're all stuck at home having to just look at a screen all day. And especially then, yeah. I feel like you won't have as strong a sense of community with people on your course if we have to stay separated in pods, I think is the phrase now, like keeping us sort of bunched together in specific groups. It'll be harder, I suppose, maybe to socialise and feel part of a community and motivate each other. I suppose I am a bit worried about that, because I know I am the sort of person, I need to sort of force myself to put myself out there and meet new people and get involved in different things. And I'm just worried maybe that if I get to college and it's all online activities, online societies, I'll feel more awkward trying to go into a Zoom meeting and talk to complete strangers than I would in person. So, and I say a lot of people will be worried about that. But I suppose that is just the new normal now. We'll have to adapt to it and sort of force yourselves until it feels normal and we're all just used to Zoom parties. Looking at accommodation can be a lot stranger this year because of blended learning. A lot of it looks, there is potential that the colleges could just tell us to stay at home and come up maybe once or twice a week or once or twice a month, which I think could, like, will be fine for people from Dublin if they're going to college in Dublin. But as someone more in the Midlands, it could be more difficult, because so much of college isn't just the lectures you go to, it's being able to meet people and form a sort of community. And what you were saying about people not being able to save money, I think we'll see definitely an increase in deferrals this year, both because of people choosing to opt for exam repeats and people who just want to work for the next year because they weren't able to this summer. So it'll be a very different landscape for college this year, I think. If we're not going to be on campus for the full time, if we're not going to be in accommodation all the time, should we still have to pay the full amount if we're not getting as much out of it as people had in the past? So I'd say there is just so much uncertainty about what college will be like next year. I am looking forward to branching out into the specific areas of study that I want and being able to sort of, yeah, just investigate stuff like sociology and economics that I'm really interested in. I'm also looking forward to meeting new people. And I suppose we all, when it comes to COVID-19, another common phrase now is we're all in the same boat. So I'm sure like every other student will have the same concerns as I have about what will they do for online lectures or going to online society meetings and how we'll cope. So I think it will definitely, at first it could feel a bit isolating and a bit difficult to adapt, but I feel like once we all sort of get to know each other a bit more and be able to express our concerns about things, we'll be able to group together more.
Jamesy again.
I'd like to pursue mental health work actually and get a degree in college in that. So that's always something I've looked into. Even in school, my religion wasn't an exam subject. But for the fifth and sixth year, we did a year course each in them 2 years, and we studied mental health. So I'd like to go on to college and get a degree in mental health. I actually feel very passionate about it. I think it's a big subject at the moment. And that it's something that a few family members of mine have been into. So I'd actually like to do that in the future. I haven't got feedback off them. And I've seen them doing some tasks they were like asked to do, some stuff. And I was actually very interested, even though the time I spent in school for the fifth and sixth year doing the mental health course, I was kind of one of the top students at doing it, I loved it. Especially towards travellers' mental health. That's something I'd like to work in as well. That's something that a few family members of mine have been into as well. I was having a few thoughts in school, listening to lads and what jobs they were looking forward to. But the more I put my head down and the more I went towards that course, I've actually liked it. I didn't want to turn back, if that makes sense. The cancellation actually had a big effect, yeah. I didn't know whether I wanted to do that now or just get into quick work, like quick and easy work. And the family members were supportive about it, and they told me, well, you could go here, but this is like a job for the foreseeable future. So I was stuck with it. And no, I'm looking forward to moving on to college and stuff, but I probably wouldn't be looking forward to, you know, the way COVID is and probably being a traveller, maybe not being welcomed and stuff like that by some people. But other than that, I'd be fine. Actually, the rules would still be in place, so it'd be hard to kind of feel normal, if that makes sense, in college. So it's going to be very hard, yeah. Yeah, with that, like, the social distancing and stuff, it's very hard to make friends and fit in and all. Even with your teacher stuff, like, you usually have a chat with them maybe before the class, or when you see them walking down the hallways and stuff. You can't do that now. Well, you can, but it'd be hard to, like, it'd be awkward and stuff. To feel a bit, like, discriminated in college, maybe, like, because I'm a young traveller, wouldn't like that either, like, so that'd be hard to fit in as well, yeah. You're actually worried about going to college, where you're going to have to stay and all your accommodation and stuff, and with the COVID, it's actually very hard to plan for that. When I went into secondary school, the principals and students knew I was a traveller, so they liked me for who I was. But going into college, like, you're older now, so people might not, like you for being a traveller, and they only see the social media side of being a traveller, and they don't take into consideration that that might not be everyone. Don't paint everyone with the same brush.
Again, Sean.
I hope to study international relations in DCU. Was never planned. I definitely won't be getting accommodation now, so any issues with accommodation aren't going to affect me. I'll be living with my auntie and uncle in Lucan. We will be doing all of our lectures. We'll end up that we're doing a huge majority of our lectures from home. Will it be even a resemblance of a college life, or will it be like what a lot of our friends or family that were in college last year had to go through, which was online classes? The rest of it I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to just the next chapter, moving on from secondary school into third level, studying something that I have a huge interest in, which I couldn't have said about most of my Leaving Cert subjects. You know, a different living somewhere else, moving out of home, even if it's only to my aunties and uncles, it'll be a change, it'll be something new, it'll be something different. But yeah, most of the stuff about college is something, stuff I'm looking forward to. There's very little that I'd be worried about or concerned about. Most of my friends that live around me would have been in first year of college last year when it told me, you know, I'd see them at the weekends and they'd have me head wrecked about stories of going out 5 nights a week and living off a tenner and stuff like this. And that kind of thing, I am a little bit disappointed that I'm going to miss out on. No, I'm lucky in that aspect that regardless what, like, well, the one thing, originally I was thinking of staying, I was going to be staying with my grandparents. That is a recipe for disaster, having a lad going around college and then come back to stay with two 70 something year olds. So we kind of had to scrap that plan and go for plan B, which is my aunt and uncle's house. But yeah, if I'm being honest, it's in some ways might have been a blessing in disguise, because I can imagine there'd be a great deal more freedom with my auntie and uncle than with my grandparents. I hope they don't listen to this. I was being a lot more conservative with, you know, what I thought I was going to get beforehand. But since then, I've kind of said, well, look, it's out of my hands. I might as well just stick down the dream course for it and see what happens.
So we're trying in our own ways to keep our spirits up and focus on our futures. Now over to Bree Channon, who has some great advice for us on what we can do in terms of making a smooth transition, no matter what our next steps are.
So thanks very much for having me. First of all, it's an absolute pleasure to do the podcast with you today. My own name is Bree Channon, and I'm a current guidance counsellor and educational guidance tutor in Trinity Access programmes. So that's based in Trinity College Dublin, and it will be working primarily with students. I suppose my own background myself, I have a master's in guidance counselling and lifespan development from the University of Limerick. I originally was a Montessori teacher, so before we even start, I suppose what I would say to students is whatever undergraduate they do, and if they're not, their whole heart isn't in it, there's always other avenues to break through in again. So that was my background. I obviously moved forward and went on and did a little bit of further education. So that's where it brings me to now. And I suppose, you know, from my accent, I'm not from Dublin. I'm originally from Limerick. And I'm obviously living up here in Dublin now, working in Trinity for the last just over a year. I was originally in UCD doing a bit of student services work, but now I'm based in Trinity.
I asked Bridge what the main worries students might have coming into first year, even in a normal year.
There's always going to be worries. I mean, looking back at my own start, I could speak from experience alone, but from obviously modern day and even in the last year, I've seen students, they feel like they won't fit in, that I suppose they don't feel like they're not able to carry out what's needed of them in college. It's because it's the unknown. And students are coming from a very safe blanket. They've been in a certain setting. Some quite small schools, maybe 50 to 100 students. Others are coming from school that have a couple of thousand students. But regardless, it's their safety blanket and it's their familiar zone. So going on then into this kind of university, this third level, that's only kind of the place that they kind of have heard of, and they might necessarily know of the on-campus, or they might be moving county, and it's all very new. So them worries are always going to be there of, will I be able to fit in? Will I be able to be independent enough? I've been at home now and I've been somewhere living with parents, grandparents, guardians, whatever the case may be, but they're moving into this unknown. Some might be moving away into different accommodations. Some might be doing a longer commute now from their home house. So there's big changes regardless. I suppose there's financial costs that come into play that they mightn't necessarily have had before. And just, I often see, which is it may be a quite a funny one, but students kind of having this fear that they won't make the most of it. And it's kind of like, oh, will I do it right? And there's no right or wrong. It's just trying to fit into your zone, I suppose. And that's the main worries I would see year in, year out, I suppose, working with students.
Yeah. And then obviously this year has been crazy, as we said at the start, and for everyone, not just students, but it's crazy. And there's a new set of challenges on every front as well. What extra challenges do you see for incoming first years then with this whole COVID-19 situation we find ourselves in?
Yeah, look, of course there is. There's huge challenges for both the professionals as well as the students in these settings. I think for students, what's really hard is some of them haven't had closure from their secondary school life. And like I've mentioned already, there is that element of the safety blanket and your friends and the people you've known for these 5 or 6 years that you've been in college or been in school, let's say. And it's hard for them because they're trying to push out, but they haven't necessarily, I suppose, like I said, closed that door. Some even haven't had a graduation, or there was this big build up to the Leaving Cert. And I suppose, unfortunately, that's the way our system is. There's this study and this kind of big push element at the end to finish off. And then there's kind of, I suppose, in other words, it's kind of just this blowout. It's kind of done, and a celebration, and that's taken from them. And however much maybe the system isn't necessarily right, it could be done differently. That's the way it is done. And that normal isn't there for the students this year. So when they move into college, it could be a small bit of, which some students feel in a way, but there's a little bit of maybe imposter syndrome, kind of like, oh, should I even be here? I didn't even finish secondary. And they'll have those thoughts going through their head. Beginning online is very probable for a lot of colleges. Some colleges have already noted that they will be starting their first couple of weeks online. Others have yet to confirm. But realistically, looking at our phases, it mightn't be possible for big lecture theatres to even hold 50 to 60 students when usually they could hold up to 500. And I mean, if social distance stays in place, I think we need to be realistic and say, well, look, there is this online element that might start. And for some students, that'll be really daunting. It'll be really daunting because even in secondary school, while they might have had it for the last couple of months, it was kind of, I wouldn't say for nothing, because they were obviously learning and studying. But what I would say is there was never an end to their online learning in secondary, because what had came in was this predicted grade system, and there was kind of just that finish. And they were told not to contact teachers for the next couple of weeks. They're trying to make out the new system that was put in place by the government, which, look, I think the call had to be made. Regardless of what the call was, it's not right or wrong, but the call needed to be made. And for students then, obviously, going forward, that online learning is a bit kind of still unknown, because they didn't really carry it out and have a finish in regards to exams or continuous assessment, because it was just stopped. The colleges are already converted to that from this semester gone. So students are going to be coming into, look, they're going to be working with professionals, lecturers, tutors. They know this inside out anyway, but I think for the students it's quite daunting, and that's definitely a new thing that'll come into play for them that they wouldn't necessarily have had before.
Can students expect to get any good kind of student experience this year?
I'd be very naive to say to you now that, oh yeah, no, look, they'll get the same experience, because they won't. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Of course, it's not the traditional. It's going to be very different. But what usually happens is there's an influx of things to do, social events to go to, academic learning to get a grasp of, friends to be made, accommodation to be fitted into. There is so much things going on for students. I think that the actual start to this year could be nearly in favour of the students. It's going to be different, but what I would say is if the students are tuned into the academic work that will happen, that will happen, that won't stop. But the likes of the social events and I suppose the building of camaraderie and friends, that might be on hold a small bit because you won't be able to meet people in person until maybe they might get into a tutorial in a smaller group or a lab in a smaller group. Like the online lectures are looking like they'll be online for now. But what I would say is that it's not necessarily a bad thing. They will have orientations, they'll do them online. They're already converting to different things like icebreakers and stuff that you can do that usually would be in person, and they can be super awkward in a way. So maybe it's better that you have that protection of a screen and being involved and I suppose meeting people. And then when it comes to the point where maybe more can be on campus and can be interactive at a one-to-one basis or in a group basis, well, maybe then you'll already have a grip of the kind of academics, what's expected of you for the semester, and will allow for students, I suppose, to make friends and have extra time once they've gotten a grasp of that. That would be my look on it. Maybe it's a very positive and happy-go-lucky, I suppose, a view on it. But I do think it actually might be less of a shock to the system than other years when students are kind of, oh, this is on, but you're also have a lecture at the very same time and you have to make these choices. Whereas when you kind of fall into the aspect of, oh, I had that on this week, but, you know, you can prioritise a little more because you have more knowledge of what the semester is like.
And finally, I asked Breege if she has any advice for us as we move into third level in this environment.
There's going to be anxiety and nervous thoughts, regardless of what the change is. And this is a huge change, regardless of where they go or where they move to, whether they move out of home or they commute. It doesn't matter. There's a change because they're not in that familiar setting, like I've mentioned, obviously, earlier on in the podcast. But it's to give yourself that break and say, yeah, I am going to experience that change, but going forward, I'll do the best I can in the situation. There is so many of your peers in the same situation as you. And I think for you to be even sitting down with them, meeting up now again, like we can, like, why not mention going, well, I'm actually a bit nervous about this, because I can guarantee you there's someone beside you that's feeling the very same. And they'll go, oh yeah, me too. Or even if they're not, they're like, oh, why do you feel like that? And they will understand because they're coming from the same point of view from you. Maybe they haven't thought about it as much as you. And I think that sometimes the overthinking of it can make anxiety and nervousness worse. And whether it's even to speak to a parent or a guardian or a friend or an aunt or uncle, whatever the case may be, it's to speak to someone about it going, I'm actually not 100% on this. And to say it out loud, sometimes it doesn't sound half as bad as you'd have it made up in your head, or you'd be lying in bed for 2 hours completely overthinking it and not getting a wink of sleep. So, I mean, sometimes it's just easier to just say it to someone. And I know it's cliche and everyone's like, oh, make sure you talk, but it really does work. And certainly with your peers alone, the ones that will be already in schools and colleges that you have studied with already, they're the ones that will know it best and will be certainly feeling the very same. But for many universities, they'd have things like counselling services, and they'd have peer support groups. They would have mentoring groups. The mentoring groups might be something like someone in your course that is maybe a year or two ahead of you, and you can link in with them and they will give you what their years were like and maybe what their online learning is like now. They would have experienced a small bit of in this semester gone, and going forward, they might be experiencing the very same. So they are a slightly bit ahead in what they've felt in their lectures and what they've seen, and they can give you some thoughts on that. As well as that, like, even if people are worried about their academic side of things, so there's like writing resource centres, study skills groups, there's if you're working in kind of the sector of maths or finance, there's those help rooms are out there as well. Other things like the career service bring out scholarships, mentorship programmes. There's programmes out there that wouldn't necessarily be linked to their course, but they're still wide open to you. I mean, if you're studying law, but you have a strong interest in researching a certain topic, there is avenues out there that you can approach lecturers or tutors and get involved outside of that. Same with the clubs, like clubs and societies, or any like interests or sports that you might be interested in. Get involved in the team. You mightn't stay in it for your 4 years, but it's having that kind of link to something that it's familiar to you. It's easy to fall into that because you know maybe you're good at it, or that you enjoy it, or that you know maybe other people that might be joining that group, which will make it easier to get adjusted to college. And all these, it might sound like, oh yeah, but they're all social events, they're on campus. They're not. These will change online too. So just like your lectures will go online, social clubs will set up maybe a Teams group or a WhatsApp group, and just get your name added on it. Sure, look, if it doesn't work out, you can leave the group again. And it's a bit of trial and error. But it's certainly just putting your kind of your name out there and trying not to kind of, there's a small element, especially with bigger universities, kind of getting lost. And there's certainly a certain percentage of students that they feel that. But I think the kind of going forward, it's more just try base yourself in an area that you're interested in, that maybe that you would have that interest in secondary school. And then moving forward, that if you branch out or you meet new people or new groups, well, then fair enough, that will work out too. And you can leave that behind of your old interest, let's say. Look, I know the worry students have. And if they're listening at the other side of this podcast, they're like, yeah, that's fine for you to say, but you got the experience, or people that you've experienced, like worked with so far, they've gotten the experience. They have, but I've also seen their struggles. And I do think, looking from the professional point of view and seeing people at the other side of it, that this is actually could be a really good gradual, I suppose, outlook and kind of just entrance into third level. And yeah, I do think sometimes it can be easy to look at the negatives of it, but the positives are certainly there this year. And I think even the way we're kind of coming out of the phases now is already positive, and it's looking a bit brighter. And I think for students going forward, it's not necessarily going to be the worst start to their education, which is kind of felt right now out there. But I think that's just part of kind of the outlook at the moment. But that'll change again, and things will turn around.
We're all walking out of this Leaving Cert year, and each one of us has taken a new path. We'll be walking away from each other in our own new directions. And no matter where those paths take us, we know that our journeys won't be what we expected. But we can always refocus, we can always find new paths, and we can always try to adapt no matter what. This won't last forever, but we can still see that change is on the horizon, and our new lives are beginning, regardless of the virus and the intensity of the last year. And we've always got each other to lean on. You've been listening to It All Works Out, hosted and produced by myself, Luke Casserly, along with the team at A Lust for Life. A big thanks to the class of COVID-19 and our guests who shared their stories and expertise. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, rate and review it, and tell a friend who needs to hear it too.